This morning I titled my sermon, Preparing for the True Meaning of Christmas. A lot of preparations going on, and have been for some time now for some, those who don't procrastinate like me. But there's a lot of people preparing for a lot of things for this holiday season. Many people have maxed their credit cards out, trying to buy everything their children or some other loved one wants or thinks they want, trying to buy somebody's love, some of them, or just trying to impress somebody with their false wealth because they got a credit card and now they'll suffer for a long time trying to pay off a credit card and high interest rates. And that's preparation some people have made. Many vacation plans have been made, plans to spend time with family, and we have those plans. We plan on all of my siblings being home for Christmas, and so we'll have that opportunity, Lord willing, to get together and spend some time with our family that some of them we've not seen since Thanksgiving a year ago when our last gathering was. But and that's good times, getting together with family. But just don't forget what the real reason is. Don't forget how blessed we are. For many people, the main character of Christmas is Santa Claus. That bearded man with a big belly, who many parents have taught their children is the source of all the gifts they want to receive. Just as a little side note, Christmas is spelled C-H-R-I-S-T-M-A-S, Christmas, not S-A-N-T-A-M-A-S. There's a reason why it's spelled like it is. And according to God's Word, in James 1:17, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. So if we want to teach our children where the good gifts come from, we need to be teaching them that God's the giver of good gifts, not Santa Claus. Okay? So, as we talk about this morning, this subject of preparing for the true meaning of Christmas, I want to remind you of some scripture that tells us the truth about Christmas and the truth about the need to prepare. In Luke chapter 1, we read about the birth of one who was to be the forerunner of Jesus. Most of you are pretty familiar with this story. We'll read part of it. We're not going to read all of it. There's a lot of scripture to cover there. But Luke just identifies himself as far as what he's writing for from the start. For as much as many have taken in hand to set forth in order a declaration of those things which are most surely believed among us, even as they delivered them unto us, which from the beginning were eyewitnesses and ministers of the word, it seemed good to me also, having had perfect understanding of all things from the very first, to write to you in order, most excellent Theophilus, that thou mightest know the certainty of those things wherein thou hast been instructed. We need to understand that God's word is the truth, and we can depend on it, and we need to trust it. He said that thou mightest know the certainty of those things. When God's Word tells us those things, then, you know, some have said the Bible says it, I believe it, and that settles it. Well, the fact is the Bible says it, and that settles it, whether or not you believe it, because too many people don't believe it. But it's settled because God settled it with His Word. Verse 5 says, there was in the days of Herod, you remember that name when we talk about the Christmas story, there were in the days of Herod, the king of Judea, a certain priest named Zacharias of the course of Abiah, and his wife was of the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. And they were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinance of the Lord blameless. And they had no child, because that Elizabeth was barren, and they both were now well stricken in years. And it came to pass that while he executed the priest's office before God in the order of his course, according to the custom of the priest's office, his lot was to burn incense when he went into the temple of the Lord, and the whole multitude of the people were praying without or on the outside at the time of incense. Here we find some godly parents. What a blessing. That is one of the greatest blessings that any of our children could have, are godly parents. Parents who are believers and who believe it's important to teach our children, like the Bible tells us to train them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. Teach them the way they should go, and when they're old, they'll not depart from it. What a great benefit it is to any child to have godly parents. And here we see that Zacharias and Elizabeth were godly. They were godly people, a godly couple. They're well up in age, past childbearing age now, when this takes place. Verse 11 says, and there appeared unto him, unto Zacharias, an angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And when Zacharias saw him, he was troubled, and fear fell upon him. But the angel said unto him, fear not, Zacharias, for thy prayer is heard. And thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name John. Zacharias and Elizabeth had prayed and prayed. We know of some others who this happened to in the Bible. They'd prayed for many years for a child, and it seemed it was not to be. Now they're past childbearing age, but their prayers are being answered. And here, Zacharias and Elizabeth's prayer is being answered because here the angel Lord is come to tell him that God has heard the prayer and he's going to answer it. His wife is going to bear a son, and they're going to call his name John. Thou shalt have joy and gladness, and many shall rejoice at his birth. For he shall be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink, and he shall be filled with the Holy Ghost even from his mother's womb. And many of the children of Israel shall he turn to the Lord their God. He shall go before him in the spirit and power of Elias to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. Zacharias said to the angel, whereby shall I know this, or how can I know this? For I'm old, and my wife is old, well stricken in age. And the angel answered and said to him, I'm Gabriel, that stand in the presence of God. I'm sent to speak to you and to show you these glad tidings. And behold, thou shalt be dumb, not able to speak to the day that these things shall be performed, because thou believest not my words. Zacharias had trouble believing that, because sometimes things seem to be unbelievable to us. They seem to be impossible to us. We don't see how something can possibly be, because It seems so impossible from human eyes and human minds. And this was one of those situations. Zechariah said, I'm an old man now. My wife is an old woman. We're well past childbearing age. There's no way we can have a child now. But what did God tell Mary when she had an argument with him and she was trying to reason with him and she said, how can I have a child when I've never known a man? And he said, with God, all things are possible. That we need to remember, that with God, all things are possible. Nothing is impossible with God. No matter how impossible it seems to us, it's not impossible with God. And so Zacharias here was reminded by Gabriel, the angel, that nothing's impossible with God. This is going to happen. And so, but because he didn't believe, he wasn't able to speak. As we read on, we find that the others were concerned because he stayed in the temple longer than normal. And then when he came out, he couldn't speak. And so they assumed that he had probably seen a vision or something had happened and he wasn't able to speak. And then we find where his wife Elizabeth then became pregnant, and it was made known that she was pregnant. Verse 24 says, and after those days his wife Elizabeth conceived and hid herself 5 months, saying, thus hath the Lord dealt with me in the days wherein he looked on me to take away my reproach among men. And then if you drop down to verse number 39, in those verses that we looked over, you'll find the account of where the angel Gabriel came to Mary and announced that she was going to give birth. And there was a meeting when Mary came to see Elizabeth, and when that happened, as a matter of fact, we'll read about that here, beginning verse number 39. Mary arose in those days and went to the hill country with haste, in a hurry, into the city of Judah, and entered into the house of Zacharias and saluted Elizabeth. And it came to pass that when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, the babe leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost. And she spoke out with a loud voice and said, blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb. And whence is this to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me? There's a message right there. The mother of my Lord should come to me. Did Elizabeth know that Mary was pregnant with Jesus, who would be our Savior? For lo, as soon as the voice of thy salutation sounded in mine ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy, and blessed is she that believed, for there shall be a performance of those things which were told her from the Lord. And Mary said, my soul doth magnify the Lord. My spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior, for he hath regarded the low estate of his handmaiden. For behold, from henceforth all generations shall call me blessed. For he that is mighty hath done to me great things, and holy is his name. Down in verse 57, we see where Elizabeth's term came, or her full term came, when she would give birth. Now Elizabeth's full time came that she should be delivered, and she brought forth a son, and his neighbors and her cousins heard how the Lord had showed great mercy upon her, and they rejoiced with her. And it came to pass that on the eighth day they came to circumcise the child, and they called him Zacharias after his father. And his mother answered and said, not so, but he shall be called John. And they said to her, there's none of thy kindred that is called by that name. And they made signs to his father how he would have him called. He asked for a writing tablet and wrote, saying, "His name is John." And they marveled all. His mouth was opened immediately and his tongue loosed, and he spake, praising God. So here, another miracle. God has blessed Zacharias and Elizabeth with a son when they're in their later years, well past childbearing age, and they have born a son who is to be the forerunner of Jesus Christ. In verse 67 following says, "And his father Zacharias was filled with the Holy Ghost and prophesied, saying, Blessed is the Lord God of Israel, for he hath visited and redeemed his people, and hath raised up an horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David. And he spake by the mouth of the holy prophets, which has been since the world began, that we should be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all that hate us, to perform the mercy promised to our fathers and to remember his holy covenant, the oath which he sware to our father Abraham, that he would grant unto us that we, being delivered out of the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear and holiness and righteousness before him all the days of our life. And thou, child, shalt be called the prophet of the highest, for thou shalt go before the face of the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation unto his people by the remission of their sins, through the tender mercy of our God, whereby the day spring from on high hath visited us to give light to them that sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace." And the child grew and waxed old in spirit, strong in spirit, and was in the deserts all the day of his showing unto Israel. Here, Zechariah realized that this child, John, was going to be a messenger of salvation, one who would go and share the light with people who are in darkness. You and I are to be forerunners of Jesus Christ, and that's one of the things that we ought to be doing in preparation for the true meaning of Christmas, is making sure that we let people know the truth of what Christmas is about. It's not about Santa Claus. It's not about just giving of gifts and having parties and these things. The true meaning of Christmas is celebrating the birth of our Savior, Jesus Christ, who came to pay our sin debt, and people need to know that. So many people have no clue, no idea. And so many of our children now have no idea, none whatsoever. Why? Because their parents and their grandparents have not taught them. And the only opportunity they have is if we tell them. Somebody who is a true believer takes an opportunity to tell them about Jesus Christ and about his birth, and not only his birth, but his death and his resurrection, his sacrifice for us. But this didn't just come up here in Luke chapter 1. This was prophesied back in the Old Testament. You know, there's so many prophecies that we find in the Old Testament that look forward and tell us what's going to happen later on. One of those places where this is prophesied is back in Isaiah chapter 40. Isaiah chapter 40, it's prophesied of this king who is to come to take care of this people and to rescue God's people. You see, in ancient times, we're talking about forerunners, and John was a forerunner, Jesus Christ. In ancient times, the arrival of a king was heralded by a forerunner. There would be those that would go before them and announcing the coming of a king so that the people could prepare for his arrival. cities would hold great festivals and everything be cleaned up and prepared, brought to its best, you know, perfected, kind of like you do when you got company coming that, you know, if you want to impress, you don't want them really to know how you live and how you don't keep your place cleaned up like it ought to be, like mine is, you know. And I'm talking about not cleaned up. Not clean like mine is, but not cleaned up like mine is. Okay? I'll clarify that. Sometimes we go to great ends to try to spend a lot of money and try to fix up and clean up, you know, when somebody's coming. And so there was a forerunner or a herald that would go out when the king was coming to let people know so everybody could clean up and they'd make preparations for the king to come. And so John was one of those forerunners, okay? Back over in Isaiah now, in chapter 40, and look at the first 11 verses. We could go further, but we'll look at those first 11 verses where the Bible says, comfort ye my people, saith your God. Speak ye comfortably to Jerusalem and cry unto her that her warfare is accomplished, that her iniquity is pardoned, for she hath received of the Lord's hand double for her all her sins. The voice of him that crieth in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be exalted, and every mountain and hill shall be made low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough places plain. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together. For the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it. The voice said, cry. And he said, what shall I cry? All flesh is grass, and all the goodliness thereof is as a flower of the field. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, because the Spirit of the Lord bloweth upon it. Surely the people is grass. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand forever. O Zion that bringeth good tidings, get thee up into the high mountain, O Jerusalem, that bringeth good tidings. Lift up thy voice with strength. Lift it up. Be not afraid. Say unto the cities of Judah, behold your God. Behold, the Lord God will come with strong hand, and his arm shall rule for him. Behold, his reward is with him, and his work before him. He shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with his arm and carry them into his bosom, and shall greatly lead those that are with young. Is there anything there that might remind you of the one that we're celebrating the birth of this Christmas? And those, that last verse where it said, he shall feed his flock like a shepherd. Jesus is a great shepherd. That's the one that we celebrate the birth of this Christmas. The one who came to be our shepherd, to take care of us, to feed his flock, to protect his flock. He refers to us as sheep. Remember the scripture in John chapter 10, where Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life. We are his sheep. He is our shepherd. And so here, way back in Old Testament time, it's prophesied, the announcement is made, the forerunner is heralding that message, get ready, the king is coming, and his name is Jesus. And so we see that not only do we read about it in the New Testament, but in the Old Testament as well, and many, many, many times in the Old Testament, we see prophecy foretold, telling us what's going to happen hundreds of years before it actually takes place. It kind of makes you think that God knows what's going on, don't it? Well, you know what? He does. He did then. He knew what was going to happen. And guess what? He hadn't changed. He's still the same today as he was yesterday. He'll be the same tomorrow. He never changes. Okay? And so we need to understand that. Matter of fact, in that scripture I just read there in Isaiah chapter 40, the Bible said, "The grass withers, the flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand forever." You know, people come, people go. You know, things happen. It's just an ongoing thing. But there's one thing that never changes. God never changes. His word never changes. Too many times we hear people making excuses because, you know, oh yeah, that was back then, you know. When the Bible's talking about sin, and they say, oh yeah, that was back then, you know. But things have changed, you know. We're in 2024 now. This is a new year and fixing to be in 2025. Can you imagine that? Things have changed, right? Yeah, a lot of things have changed. God hadn't changed. He has not changed. He's not going to change. And so we need to understand that God's Word is faithful. It does not change. And then over in John chapter 1, through 15. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. That's who we just read about the birth of, wasn't it? Okay. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not the light, but he was sent to bear witness of the light. That was a true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came to his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. We beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John bare witness of him and cried, saying, "This was he of whom I spake. He that cometh after me is preferred before me, for he was before me." John, the forerunner of Christ, trying to prepare us and others and sharing with us the true meaning of Christmas. And so how do we prepare for the true meaning of Christmas? The only way that we can really genuinely prepare for the true meaning of Christmas is covered there in John chapter 1. In verse number 12, "But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God." The only way we can truly prepare for the true meaning of Christmas is when we believe. We believe and we trust Jesus Christ to be our Savior. We receive Him. And so we need to stop putting that off. You know, many people are waiting for a better time. Many people will say that they know, they believe, but they're waiting for a better time to commit their life because there are things they want to do before they surrender to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. You can't not be really ready for Christmas, for the true meaning of Christmas, without you know Him in a personal way. And so, today the question is this. Do you know Him? Have you trusted Him to be your Savior? If you died sitting where you are, would you wake up in the presence of Jesus Christ? Or would you wake up in a place called hell, a place of torment where nobody wants to go? But most people are making preparation to be there. How they're making preparation to be in hell? Just simply by rejecting Jesus Christ, by not receiving Him and what He's done. The source of our salvation is what we celebrate at Christmas. His name is Christ. He came to set an example for you and I. He lived on this earth. He was tempted just like you and I are, yet without sin. And then He was willing to give His life to pay our sin debt. Because we have not lived a life without sin. So we need His forgiveness. Have you received that? Have you received Christ? Are you a son or a daughter of God today? The only way you can do that is by receiving Jesus Christ as your Savior and Lord. That scripture said, not of blood. It's not because you were born into it, you know, just because your family was, you know, good Christians. You know, I'm a McVeigh by blood, you know. That's what my father's name was, you know. But I'm not a Christian because my father or mother were Christians, you know. It's not by good deeds, not of works, lest any man should boast. But it's by faith in Jesus Christ, the source of our celebration for Christmas. Father, thank You for Your life. Thank You for the greatest gift that could ever be given, the gift of Jesus Christ, to come as our Savior, to set an example for us, so that we can know how to live, and then to die because of our mistakes, our rebellion, our sin. He gave His life, but thankfully He's not dead. He defeated death, hell, and the grave, seated at the right hand of the Father to make intercession for us. Father, I pray for that person today that's seated in this building who's never genuinely trusted You to be Savior, that today would be that day, the day of salvation for that person, so that they will be prepared to celebrate Christmas and to celebrate the source of Christmas. His name is Jesus Christ. And it's in His name we pray. Stand with me for a moment. Music's playing. What about your relationship today? If you died, standing right where you are right now, do you know that you would spend eternity with Jesus in heaven? Are you really, truly enjoying the benefits of being a child of God right now? Or are you missing out on a lot of benefits because you've chosen to reject Him? What about your plans for celebrating Christmas? Do you know the source of the celebration in a personal way? You can know Him today. Anyone.